You are listening to BensTorah.com.
We'll start with Shabbos, and then we'll move to Kashrus. Kashrus is really more expansive, and it has a lot of different halakim. So with Shabbos, I think we'll be able to get through the whole thing with discussing a Shabbos with a Gentile worker. Now, I want to tell you one thing that a lot of people do not know, because a lot of people are exposed. When their exposure to Amir La'akum, telling a guy to do something, is usually on a more of a residential basis, which means that the guy is not your employee. The guy usually, most people, at least that was the case by me, until I really learned the sugyas of Amir La'akum, my exposure to Amir La'akum, to telling a guy to do something, would be a guy walking down the street, and there's a light on in the room, and you hint to the guy, and you call him, and that's usually the exposure you have. But when we're talking about Amir La'akum to an employee, now, either it could be your business, or it could be, like in this case, where kind of residential and commercial meet, where you have a cleaning lady, or you have a maid in the house, she's really your employee. Even though you're in your house, you don't think of it in that terms as a business, but really, it's your employee. So the halakhas are very different. It's absolutely a completely different makar and a completely different track. There's a whole different set of laws, a Gentile with who's your employee, and a Gentile is not your employee. And I'll just illustrate this with the Mishnah Berurah, which is the Tzimrishin and Beis of Gibble. And he says something, I was recently in L.A. and I said this over, and people couldn't believe I was saying this, and I had to bring a Shulchan Aruch Rav and others. So I want to just say what the Shulchan Aruch, what the Mishnah Berurah says. He says, Vida, you should know, the Im Hayah Eini Yehudi, and I don't have time to go into all the background and the sources, so I'm just going to go straight to the Mishnah Berurah itself. You should know, the Im Hayah Eini Yehudi, if you have a Gentile, Schir Yayim, he's working per day or per hour, he's being paid per hour to do work or per day, he's not being paid like a UPS driver who's just being paid per job. He's been paid for his time. Says the Mishnah Berurah, Bimei Achol. So you have a guy that works for you in the weekday. For who writes Ata and the Gentile, Gam Ken Las Melachta Bebeisa Betzina. He wants to now do work for you in his house, Betzina, quietly. Tzarech Leilech Belimchis Biyada. You have to stop him. Which means like this. If you have, if you have a secretary, a non-Jewish secretary, and let's say you're a doctor, and she does jobs, she transcribes your voice commands, and she types it up, okay? And that's a malacha, it's called ksiva, and a guy can't do a malacha for you on Shabbos. So we all understand, to tell the secretary, Friday, you know what, we're very behind, I would like very much, if you would type up these things over Shabbos, we would all understand that's called Amir Al-Akam. You're telling a guy to do something for you. The same way you can't call a guy off the street and say, do this malacha for me, sew this button, whatever it is, you can't tell your secretary, type these voice commands for me over Shabbos. Transcribe them for me over Shabbos. That everyone understands. But what happens if the Gentile secretary says, we're backed up, I'm going to take home some work, and I'm going to work a little overtime on Shabbos, and I'm going to do it. You didn't tell him to do it.
At home.
And you say, well, you don't have to do that. It's a weekend, take off. And she says, no, I'm backed up. It's driving me crazy. I have to get ahead of the workload. I'm going to do that. I'm going to work on Shabbos, and you'll pay me overtime. So this is your employee. You did not command them to do work on Shabbos. You didn't ask them to do work on Shabbos. They just let you know that they're going to do work on Shabbos, right? So we conventionally would say, well, there's no Amir La'akam. I didn't ask them to do any work. Says the Mishnah Berurah, Veda, the Imar Eni Yehudi Schir Yayim, if you have a guy that's working for you, being paid per time, like overtime is for sure, like they're paying per hour or per day, they work for you during the weekday. And now they want to work. And there's no marzayin. They're working in their house. Nobody knows anything. The guy wants to work for you on Shabbos. Tzarech leilech. You have to go. The limchais and be meiche, which means protest. Kivan shenoy deloy. Since you know about it. Aval pi shenoy tzibafonik. Even if they're not doing it in front of you. So this is a very important halacha. The halachas of residential amir l'akim is you can't tell them to do it. This is a guy that's walking down the street. You have no relationship with this guy. The way you make the guy an agent is you tell them to do it. We're talking about a regular guy walking down the street. You can't tell them to do it. If you merames, let's say you hint, so you didn't tell them, that's fine. But when you have a guy who works for you, Itzar Amir Al-Akam, the reason why he's an agent, right, a shliach, is not because you told him. The reason why he's an agent is because he works for you. He's your employee. An employee is an automatic agent of a guy, of a yid. I'm sorry, a guyish employee is an agent. Now, of course, we're not talking about when he's like a UPS driver where he's being paid to do a job. We're talking when he's paid for his time. And a lot of people don't know that. When you have an employee and you're paying them for their time, you cannot allow them to work on Shabbos because they are automatically shliach, and this is irrelevant if you told them to work on Shabbos. If you think he's going to work on Shabbos, you have to tell him you cannot work on Shabbos. Now, in the case, just to go back, in the case of the secretary, so if you know the secretary is going to work on Shabbos, you'd have to say, listen, I can't pay you for your time on Shabbos. I can make you a koblin, so we could say like this, I'll pay you for your work. I'll pay you X dollars per every sheet you type up. Now, they're a koblin, which I guess the closest word to us would be like a contractor. It's a contractor. For every page you do, I'm going to pay you X amount. I didn't tell you to do it on Shabbos, but if you'll do it, I'm not going to stop you. And I may even appreciate it. That's fine. You can appreciate it. But you can't tell them to do it. But if you're going to pay them per time or for their day, you're going to have a problem of, I guess we can call it a mirla akum. It's not really a mirla akum. It's really shlichus, that a guy is cannot do shlichus for a yid on Shabbos. That we find in the Paiskim declare, and the Mishabur brings in the beginning, that there's even a shayla if it's deraisa derabanan. Even though we know we're telling a guy to do a malacha for you is derabanan, a mirla akum shvus. But when he's your worker, since we have a concept of yad poil ki yad balabayas, yad poil ki yad balabayas means that the worker, his hand is like the hand of the balabayas. For example, if you have a day worker, and Shulchan Aruch Paskins, if you have a day worker, you pay him for his time, and he's walking down the street, he picks up a metziah, that belongs to the balabayas. Because he's automatic, he's an agent of the employer. The employee is an agent of the employer. So therefore, let me just finish my thought. Therefore, when we discuss Amir La'akum with a Gentile help, and she's being paid per hour, she's being paid per day, it is the most chamardika level of Amir La'akum. So things which you would have assumed you could do with a regular guy, you cannot do with an employee. And I'll just give one example. And there's a halacha in Mishbur brings, the Amir the Amir is mutter b'makam tzarech. Amir the Amir means you don't tell a guy to do something, you tell a guy to tell another guy to do something. So you tell a guy, let's say you need air conditioner on. So you find a guy, you say, do you have a guy, your friend? Could you ask him to turn on the air conditioner for me? Let's say such a thing. So the Mishabura says, it's a whole shayla. Mishabura says that sometimes you could use this kula. That's what Mishabura says. But that's only if the guy who's doing it is not your employee. So there's no amira, because amira da amira is not called an amira. Telling someone to tell someone else doesn't mean you didn't tell him. So since you didn't tell him, you don't have a relationship of telling him. He's not your employee, so he doesn't have a relationship with an employee. So it's fine. But I remember back when I was in yeshiva, what we used to have these workers, which we called amigos. I think they were of Mexican descent.
The amigos.
And we, let's say we wanted something done. So we knew what Mishnah Berurah says, amira da amira is mutter. So we tell one amigo to tell the other amigo to tell the other amigo, and they would have things done for us. Now, the truth is you can't do that, because the last amigo who was doing it is an employee of the yeshiva, and we're really part of the yeshiva. He's working for us. So even if I wouldn't tell him to do it, and if he wanted to do it on his own, if he's doing it for me, I'm lucky, I have to stop him. So for sure, amir da amir da amir, it doesn't make it better that I wouldn't tell him at all. So when you come to a cleaning lady, these are things that we have to keep in mind, that malachas that are done for us, we are not allowed to let a cleaning lady do malachas for a yid on Shabbos. Now, there are certain exceptions, certain cases, and we'll get into those, but in general, if you have a very basic case, if you have a cleaning lady, and you give her on Monday buttons to sew, right? And on Shabbos, it's a quiet day, and she says, oh, let me catch up on my sewing for you, I'm going to start sewing my buttons. So you think to yourself, well, I didn't tell her to do it on Shabbos. I told her to do it on Monday. Now she wants to get around for it. It's not Amir al-Akam. I didn't tell her to do it. The halacha is, even she takes it into her private room in her house, the halacha is, she's being paid per day. She's not being paid per job. The halacha is that you have to, Mishnah Berurah says, you have to stop her. You can't let him do halacha on Shabbos. Shulchan Aruch Rav also is ma'arich on this. I was recently, in the summer, I'm in South Fulsburg. I have a bungalow in South Fulsburg, so my father-in-law, his name is Shlomo Miller, he's a big rav in Toronto. So,
to say the least.
So I just want to tell a quick funny story. So there was a few Hasidim, I don't mean to make an ethnic joke, it happened to be that was the case, there were Hasidim. And they came to discuss a whole Shaila b'negei Shabbos with Shutfis, a whole Shura Shaila. And my father-in-law actually was a little tired, so he asked me if I could just, you know, sit in for him and try to help them. So I was working with them, and it came out during the conversation that they had Shchiriyim, which means day workers. They weren't salaried, they were being paid per day. And these chevra were working on Shabbos, and they were doing malachas. It was a factory. So I said, I don't know Yiddish, I'll repeat it. So I said, Megnash lozna Shchiriyim arbitin of Shabbos. You can't let a Shchiriyim work on Shabbos. So he says, no, they said, no, you don't understand. I didn't tell them to do it on Shabbos. They're on their own schedule. They worked on Shabbos. So I said, I told them, I understand what you're saying. You didn't tell them to do it on Shabbos. So then they figured that maybe, you know, Yiddish is not my first language, and so they figured maybe I'm not understanding what they're saying. So like in English, they tried saying, and they didn't, you know, English wasn't for sure not their first language, maybe even not their second. So they said, no, I didn't tell them to do it on Shabbos. So I said, you know, let me just show them the Mishnah Berurah. So I opened up the Mishnah Berurah. I said, why don't you take a look? Why don't you read this? I read it, and it had like, it was two chassidim. They're looking inside, and they're reading, and it says, Veda, the name Yehudi Yischiyoyim, Tarach Limchash. And you're looking, and they both pick up the head at the same time, and they say, Shveire Mishnah Berurah. Which means it's a very hard Mishnah Berurah. But the truth is, it's really not a hard Mishnah Berurah. It's really a Mefurish Gemara and Shabbos and the Gemara says, but if someone's doing something adayta d'nafshei, you have to stop them. And the Tzchiyam is adayta d'nafshei, and therefore you have to stop them. There are a few exceptions. I'm just going to say a few quick exceptions. If you have a cleaning lady in your house, and there's a light on in the bedroom, right? Now, the cleaning lady is being paid per hour. We understand that. Or per day. It's relevant. But the point is being paid for their time. Regardless of you paying that cleaning lady, if there was a Gentile in the house, let's say a UPS driver just walked into the house, there was a light on, you would have no problem, beremes is saying, there's a light on, you know, it's hard for me to sleep, if you, you know, whatever, you leave it open-ended, right? And then they chop, if they're around you, they chop, then the person's being meremes, then to shut the light off. So this cleaning lady doesn't have to be worse than just a regular going off the street. If they would do it regardless of you paying them, it's not that doesn't take any time to shut a light, it takes 18 seconds. Even if they weren't on your payroll, they would do it. It's not part of their workload, and it's not part of the job description. Obviously, they're doing it, they're in your house, so they're doing it. That would not be called that you're letting a schiyam do malacha for you. When we say a schiyam to do malacha for you, we mean you can't let an employee do work that would someone would not do if they were not your employee. So, for example, if they want to sew buttons on, or they want to hem the pants of the employer, no one does that unless they're being paid. You can't call a guy off the street and say, my pants is a little long today. They're not going to say, well, hafakha rabba. The only reason why they'll shut a light off of you, it doesn't take any time, and it's a general, passing thing. So, a cleaning lady doesn't have to be worse than that. A cleaning lady could also be a good Samaritan, and they can also just shut the light, and they're not doing it because they're on your payroll. This is a psak I heard from my father-in-law, which is a kula. Because they're on your payroll. They're on your payroll. But they're not doing it, machmas, that relationship you have with them, that you're an employee and they're an employer. They're doing it because they just happen to be there.
And they're not getting paid for putting on
their they're getting paid because it's on your time. On time. But the bottom line is, that 18 seconds is not good. They're not going to leave 18 seconds earlier because they did that. So that would be mutter. But work, which would be work, which they wouldn't do for you if not for the fact, you know, if you have... you have something which you need to do bayer for, let's say, whatever the case is in the kitchen, or you need to do sewing in the sewing room, they're not doing that for you unless they're your employee. You're not allowed to let them do that on Shabbos. Okay, we'll just take a few quick questions. He was waiting for it. Okay. Yeah, I'm sorry, yeah.
Just one quick question. Yeah. If the person who had the weekend to do it on the work at the beginning that you had mentioned before, if you just said do it on the weekend, wouldn't that be permissible considering the fact that she could do it on Sunday? So instead of saying do it tomorrow, say do it over the weekend, wouldn't that be...
Right, so what's the case? You're paying them per time, you switched it into a cobbling, you're paying them per page. If you're paying them for their time, and you want to know, can I tell a Tzchiyam, do it over the weekend? So the answer is, it depends. If you think they can do it on Shabbos, again, the halacha is they're not allowed to do it for you on Shabbos. So it depends. If you think to do it on Sunday, you can tell you do it over the weekend. But a Tzchiyam, if you feel they're going to do it on Shabbos, you do have to let them know they shouldn't work for you on Shabbos. That's the basic answer. Now, if you turn it into a Kablan, if you say, I'm not paying you for your time, I'm paying you per page, I'm paying you for a job, then you're right. Then you're 100% right. As long as they don't have to do it on Shabbos, that's mutter. So, for example, UPS, that does deliver for you on Shabbos, right? They don't have to work for you on Shabbos. So, since they're not paying you for the time, paying for the work, that's mutter. But even UPS, if you give it on Friday and you say, I want it overnighted on Shabbos, you can't do that. You can't tell a Kablan to do it on Shabbos. But as Chiyoyim, forget about telling them to do it on Shabbos. You can't even allow them to do it on Shabbos if you think they can do it on Shabbos. Now, in your case, you want to know, how do I know if they're going to do it on Shabbos? I don't know the answer to that. You know the answer to that. If you think they'll do it on Shabbos, you should tell them not to. If you don't think, then you don't tell them not to. If you give out, let's say, a software, let's say you give out a software job to someone and you pay him per hour, right? And you give it out every so often. And always, Shabbos afternoon, you get an email, I just finished it. So eventually you're figuring out when he does it on Shabbos. If you're paying him per hour, you have to say, listen, you can't work for me on Shabbos. Either we restructure it and I'll pay you per job, or I'm going to have to tell you, you can't work for me on Shabbos. Yeah, I'm sorry.
Woman's working in the street, a goyim.
Yeah.
And you want to have somebody come, you say, can you come in and turn off the light?
Louder.
Yeah.
you can, a woman is walking in the street.
Yeah. You turn off the light. Yeah.
Turn off the light. She's not on your payroll. She's
right.
She's just the guy that she's going to be affected.
But you can't tell them to do it.
Excuse me. Or the air conditioner.
Yeah, but you can't tell them. You can be maramas to them. You can hint.
Remus.
Only Remus. You can't straight out tell them. You could be Maramas if they're not
what
on your favor.
What if you preface it by saying I'm Jewish, I'm not allowed to touch electricity, and that's where you live it. You don't go further, let's say.
So there's two things. There's something called Remech Derech Tzivui, and there's something called Remech Shloi Derech Tzivui. Remech Derech Tzivui means, you hint, you say, Derech Tzivui, it means it's a hint in the way of a commandment, which means it's a little too far. So if you say, there's a light on, I would really like someone to close it,
that's
called Remech Derech Tzivui, that you shouldn't do. But if you say, there's a light on, and I can't shut it, so you just leave it open. You don't tell them what to do.
No, you just see him, like he says, exactly what he's talking about, because it happens sometimes that the shul, the Beis Medrash, whatever, I see a Schwarze.
Yeah.
I say, you know, Jewish people, I'm not allowed to do it, but we have a problem or something like that.
Right, but you don't say if someone would do it. You don't speak about
nothing
them.
Nothing else.
You speak about yourself.
They get the clue.
Okay, very good. You speak about yourself. You say, I can't do
action.
This.
You don't talk about the action,
you don't say about yourself. You only say about yourself.
She goes, wait, what? Show me.
I can show you. I'm not telling you to do it, but I can show you. Yeah.
So I point, let's say, to the room.
And you don't tell them. You don't tell them what they need to do. You just say, see this air conditioner? I can't open it because I'm Jewish. That's it. That's all you do.
then that would be it.
That's fine. That's remise. That's open-ended remise. You don't in any way insinuate what they should do. You just say what you can't do. And usually they're exposed enough to know what to do.
You made me feel good because I've been doing that.
Oh, I'm happy. See, I can't move. It's good to come. I made me feel good. Yeah.
How about someone that had a dinner in the house Friday night?
Yeah. Have to move it.
And they hire a woman to
clean up.
Come and clean up afterwards.
Wash dishes. I'll discuss washing dishes right now. I'm going to discuss washing dishes. I'm just going to say another quick halacha about washing dishes, which people don't know. Two things people don't know.
So in other words, what your answer is, again? You can, the woman, you come
talk
in.
Talk about anything, but not the action.
You don't talk about the action. You don't talk about what they should do.
If she says, where's the light? You can't go.
No, you could say, this is the light I can't turn on. That's it. You talk about yourself. You don't talk about an action. You don't talk about what they should do. You talk about what you can't do. And you leave the rest understood. I'm going to tell you some quick halachas when they're washing dishes, because this is a lot of times negeh.
Yes.
There's two reasons why a yid cannot wash dishes on Shabbos with hot water. One is if you open up the hot water.
The boiler works.
The boiler, you're making new hot water come into the boiler, and that's called a psikresha. Psikresha means it's for sure going to happen. Even though all you mean to do is take the hot water out of the boiler, but you're also putting hot water into the boiler. Psikresha means it's for sure going to happen. A yid cannot do something if it's for sure going to happen. For example, it's a Mishnah, you can't drag a bench if it's for sure going to make a dig. It's going to make like a karitz. It's going to make a ditch. You can't drag a bench. The halacha is, you're allowed to tell a guy to drag a bench. It's a mafurisha halacha in Mishnah Berurah and Reish Lam and Zion, if you want to show you. The halacha is, you're allowed to tell a guy to drag a bench, even though you can't drag a bench. Even though generally, whatever you can't do, even though it's going to make the same ditch that you can't do it, because it's going to make a ditch, but you can tell the guy to drag the bench.
Why?
I'm going to tell you right now why, but let's just see the halacha inside, because a lot of times people remember better when they see it inside. This is in Reish Lam and Zion. Shulamit Zayim Yud, I think. So it's a look like this.
Psikresha.
Yeah.
What if you have standing hot water?
We're going to discuss this. We're going to discuss this.
Not running. Like, for example, you know this carafe, they call it carafe. It's where you push it to release water for tea.
Yeah. Put the idea in it here. He discusses the Shin Lama Zion and Shabru test. So I'm going to say, he asked me why. Why should it be like that? If a yid, we know it's not locha, kol ma'asha osala soysoy, osalaim la'akma soysoy. Whatever a person can do, can't tell a guy to do. But we have an exception. But psikreshes, when it's for sure going to happen, a secondary action, the primary action is mutter, but the secondary action is usher. A yid's not allowed to do that. So a yid's not allowed to drag a bench if he's going to make a digging, if he's going to make a chiritz. A ditch. A yid is not allowed to take hot water from the sink. If more hot water will go in the boiler, and that's right. Called bishul. Even though you don't care about the hot water now, that hot water you use after Shabbos, you don't really care about that.
What about what I said?
Hold on, let me just finish the thought.
Yes.
So why is a yid allowed to tell a guy to do something with psik ratio? So there's a few basic pshatim, but they're all very similar, and I'm just going to say the one from the Shulchan Aruch Rav. And the answer is that the reason why you can't tell a guy to do something is because he's your shliach. He's your agent to do it. We only say he's your agent on the primary action. So if I tell you to move a bench, I'm making you a shliach. Let me just finish up. Yeah, that's it's a milakim. It's a chumra. It's a chumra by milakim.
Okay.
It's a chumra milakim. It's a chumra milakim. So if you take a, if you tell a guy to move a bench, I'm making him a shliach to do one thing, to move the bench. Now that's the primary action. Now there's going to be a sub action from that, which is going to be a ditch. I'm not making you a shliach in that because I don't care about that. So even though he's going to do a psik resha, a guy's allowed to do malach on Shabbos. The only problem is he can't do it for you. We only say the primary action is being done for the yid. The shliach is only on the primary action. So to tell a guy to take hot water from the sink for you is mutter, because even though hot water is going to come in, the guy, that's a psik resha for the guy, and that's mutter. That's Mishmur Paskins. It's a gemite in two magen avrams. Not everyone agrees with this, but that's for sure. The halach and the paskin, that's how they go. Psik resha by a guy's mutter. So to tell a guy to wash dishes with a hot water would be mutter with the problem of hot water. Hot water is not a problem with a guy, because it's only a psik resha. Now, sometimes it's a problem of cleaning dishes, and that's a halacha of hachana. A yid is not allowed to do hachana. Hachana means to prepare for after Shabbos. Let's say he doesn't need the dishes anymore, and it's Shabbos afternoon, Shabbos, so it's fleishiks, and the next suit, the shlisa, is going to be milchik. He doesn't need these dishes to be used on Shabbos. So a yid is not allowed to wash dishes because it's hachana. So could he do it all day a goy? So that's a different halacha. Reshon Beis Mem Gimel, Mishbura Paskins, that whenever, another exception to Tamir Lakim. Only these are from the, there's not that many exceptions, but these are the two big ones. When is it the Isra Hachana? There's a mission in Kufit Gimel on Shabbos. You're not allowed to make beds if it's after Shabbos. The Isra Hachana is Isra Tircha. That's what the Pesachim say. Tircha means it's not a malacha. It's not an inherent thing. And what I mean with that is that a yid can't light a fire or put out a fire. That action is forbidden. But to wash dishes is not inherently forbidden. You're allowed to wash dishes if you're going to use them on Shabbos. So it's only the reason why it's usher is because you do not have mind to you don't have in mind to use it on Shabbos. You have in mind to use it after Shabbos. So it's called the tircha mishabbos lechol. You understand? The action itself is not forbidden. If you needed these dishes, let's say you could use the cold water. Let's say cold water. Forget about hot water for a second. Let's say you're going to wash dishes with cold water. You're allowed to wash dishes with cold water? Depends. If you need the dishes for Shabbos, you're allowed to. Tirchim Shabbos, Shabbos is mutter. The Mishnah says that you're allowed to make your bed if you're going to use the bed again. So you're allowed. It's not Tirchim Shabbos, Shabbos is mutter. Tirchim Shabbos lechol to be matriach itself, to kind of work, general work, not malachis, but to work from Shabbos to chol. This is rachana. It's also so the Mishabur Paskins and Rishon and Gimel mandates that when there's an Isser Tircha, it's mutter to do it al yedei a goy. Only it's a malacha can't be done al yedei a goy. There's two pshatim in there. One pshat is because it's Isser Tircha, he doesn't have any Tircha if the guy does it. And usually he's an agent, so the mice of, let's say, lighting becomes the mice of the yid. Over here, it's not an isser mice, it's not an isser action. It's not an inherently usser. It's just to do a tircha, but the guy could do it. That's one pshat, and there are other pshat. But what's negated to us is that to tell a guy to wash dishes is mutter.
Is this cooked in the chol?
I'm sorry?
It's not cooked in the chol? Chol
did the chol, no. How's it cooked in the chol? To tell him to do it?
Why not? No.
Over the dechol, like what? Give me an example of the dechol. Over the dechol, something that's inherently looks cholding.
Wash the dishes, not over the dechol.
What's wash
the
dishes? You're right. If you're going to use the dishwasher, you're right. If you're going to use the dishwasher,
can't you do it? Can't you go into the dishwasher?
Nobody knows if it's cold water or hot water.
Hot water is mutter.
Shabbos?
Hot water is mutter, idea good. Idea. Goy, what is
goy? Goy.
Sikresha. That's before it's Mishabura. I'm sorry? By a goy's mother, yeah. It's Mishabura Paskin. So, only by a goy. Sikresha. So, a dishwasher and a washing machine and a vacuum cleaner, these are things that most places can say is what we call Zilusa de Shabbata, Ashra de Milsa, which means it detracts from the serenity of the day. It's not something that's made up. It's defined in Shulchan Aruch. The case in Shulchan Aruch was that they had a water mill, a Rechayim Shalchitin, a water mill that the river would turn the mill, and it would be able to grind the wheat for Shabbos. So really, the halacha is you're allowed to do that. You're allowed to put the wheat in before Shabbos and let the mill go, because we paskin Shvisas Kalim's mutter. Shvisas Kalim means that only a Yid has to keep Shabbos. His Kalim, his machines don't have to keep Shabbos. His air conditioner could go on and can go off. It's not a problem. You know, if you have 3 years, we'll have a Mr. Shem, so we'll have like self-driving cars. Your cars will have to drive around on Shabbos. There's no Isser Shvisas Kalim. if your car decides it needs a little exercise, it can drive around the block. But that's mutter. But the halacha in Reishon Beis is that Mishum Ashvah the Milsa makes a lot of noise and people see it's like a whole tumult. The mill is going and makes noise. So such a thing, Hashmas Kol, people hear it. Such a thing, Chazal said, a person shouldn't do it because it detracts from the nature of Shabbos. It detracts. So most Paiskim shtel that too, and they say that a washing machine or a vacuum cleaner, let's say a washing machine.
Washing machine, but that's very important.
Washing machine or a dishwasher. Let's say dishwasher. A guy would say, "Listen, I can do it with my hands. You're not telling me to do malach. I'll do it with my hands." But he said, "If I use a dishwasher, why can I do that?" Right. The answer is a dishwasher should not be running in the house on Shabbos. Generally, if you have a very quiet dishwasher, and maybe the Rav would disagree with me, then but this is that's what I would think. I would think that a dishwasher should not go on Shabbos in the house. A washing machine, these type of things are ashra and milsa, machinery that makes noise, that are not things that go on automatically. People understand it has to be done, to be manually done. Physically done, not like a air conditioner. People understand it's running on an automated system. These type of things that make noise, a person should really refrain from.
What about adding water, cold water? Girl adds cold water on Shabbos to make coffee into the hot water.
Into the urn.
You can't be
run out of water.
That's different. I didn't go through this because now you're getting more into residential, Amir Lakum. But
we are talking residential, right?
Yeah, we are talking residential. It's in your house. I know. I whenever I go away for Shabbos, I see it. I think they fill up the urns.
Yeah.
You can't be nana from such a thing. Forget about if you told them, and forget about if they're doing it because they're being a good Samaritan. When a guy turns on a light, if it's pitch black, and a guy goes and turns on a light for a year, the yid not to be nana from that. That's a different halacha. Only a guy's allowed to turn off a light because you're not being nana from the dark, from the absence of light. It's a different halacha. It's like this is already a whole different sugya. But in general, I'm saying very quickly, the only time we say a yid could do things, if he maramis to the guy to do it, or if they understand by themselves they want to do it, and they're not your hired worker, and they're not paid, it's only, you can't get a positive benefit from something the guy does for you. It's exerted.
The you say no. The water, cold
you cannot
water
use water. You cannot use water. No, they can add it.
They can add it.
I mean, if they add it, they add it. You didn't tell them to do it.
Right.
And maybe you'll say that they're not being paid for that. Maybe they saw it was getting low. It would ruin the machine. I don't know. But if they add it, you can't use that water because you're not being added from hot water on Shabbos. Same way, if you turn on a light, you're not being added from the light on Shabbos. But the halacha is that you have a dark room and a guy turns on a light. For you can't use that room. Moshe says you have to leave the. Moshe even says the chiddush that if someone takes a sefer, if it's a dark, really dark, you can't use. Let's say a library. Moshe says that if someone takes a sefer out of that, someone opens up the light for you.
Yeah.
And then you're like, oh, I can't use this room. So then she says, no problem. She takes your sefer and she brings it outside the room. And she says, you can't use that sefer because everything in that room becomes a thing. We're getting really, really, okay. I'm going to be back for a few times. I'm sorry?
Awful low of the air conditioner. What's the right approach? Somebody in shul, it's too cold, it's too hot. So I have some boy of yours.
Yeah.
And they seem to be doing that.
So that's a big shaila because maybe there's a Tariq Rabin. The halacha is we only do things to Tariq Rabim when it's their Rabbanah, not their Raisa. Shvus to Shvus, Mutzim Tariq. So, that's a big question if an air conditioner is their Raisa, their Rabbanah. I don't know how their Rabbanah passed in here. In Lakewood, Rabbi Aaron was very makbid that anything related to electricity, he went with the Chazanish, we hold this their Raisa. I'm not saying everyone agrees with that, but that's in Lakewood. So, if in Lakewood you would ask me this question, I would tell you the only way to tell a guy to turn on or off or change the temperature would be with a shinui. A shinui means you can't do it with your hand like this. You have to do it a different way. So my shrei, who learned in Lakewood by Rabbi Aaron, he tells me that there was a guy by the name of Bernie. He was, I think, of African-American descent, and he was a mumche in shinuyim. He had the messiah for Rabbi Aaron, what is a shinui, what's not. And he knew how to adjust an air conditioner with his elbow like no one else. So if you ask me, I would tell you that if it's a tzarek rabim in a shul, the way I heard it from my father-in-law is that if you do have a situation where you have to tell a guy to do something, you can't be meramez, for example. Can't be meramez. If you be meramez, I'd be the best. But let's say you can't be meramez. The best way to do it would be to ask him to do it al yidei a shinoi. Shvus to shvus makom tzarech
mot.
Let me just say a few more. Yes.
Question.
The guy could not turn a light. You can't ask a guy to turn a light for you. You
only have. She knows that it's dark. She goes over and turns on the light.
Sorry.
You can't ask.
By they're turning it on or turning it off?
Turning it on.
On? You shouldn't ask them to do it, no.
I do not see anything.
They just did it?
Automatic.
So it depends. If the room had some light and they just added light, then they're lucky allowed to use the light. But if the light was, the room was pitch black and they put on light, you can't use the light. Let me just say one more few more luck to you than know about it. Cleaning ladies, and then we'll move on. This may be a little more to get. I'm sorry? I can't hear you. If it's a chayla, you're asking me.
It's not a chayla.
It depends on the case. I shouldn't say. If a person is not well, and then there might be a shvus to shvus. There might be a heter of turning on light for a chayla, but again, it's not clear if electricity is deraisa or not. But by a chayla, you probably could be mekel and you could assume it's only with derabbanan. But lechitchila, you try to assume it's deraisa. I definitely place can take derabbanan. Rav Shlomo Zalman says he doesn't understand why it should be deraisa. Even Rav Shlomo Zalman writes that we try to accept the opinion of the Chazon Ish that it's deraisa. So let me just say a few more halachas people don't know. The halacha is that you're not allowed to hire a worker on Shabbos. And that's something that's negay a lot of times in the bungalow colony, a lot of times in the negay in Lakewood also. And maybe it's not something negay here, but let's say on Yom Tov, my cleaning lady comes, and the next neighbor is a yanta, they see the cleaning lady come on Yom Tov to wash dishes, and they come over and they're like, could you come work by me for an hour now? And then the next one, and the end of they stay the whole day, and everyone's hiring the cleaning lady for Shabbos. Now, of course, no one's discussing prices, no one's saying, come work for me for $10 an hour. But come work by me, and we'll mach a cheshbon after Shabbos. And the cleaning lady is around long enough to know she'll get paid, and she understands that we're not discussing prices because it's Shabbos. But you're hiring me to do work, and I'm expecting you to pay. Are you allowed to do that? So I'm for shalach and shin zayin. You're not a hire worker for Shabbos, regardless if they're doing malachas. And of course, the cleaning lady is not going to do malachas for you. They're just cleaning up a little. They're washing dishes. They're doing things that a guy is allowed to do for a yid. But the hiring itself is what we call a commercial act. You can't do a commercial act. This panel is forbidden. Now, if you say it in a way that doesn't invoke a commercial act, for example, you say, come clean by me, so my father-in-law holds that's mutter. Now, even though they understand that they're not cleaning as a good Samaritan, they're cleaning because they're going to get paid, but that's hearer. Hearer means you're thinking about
snow?
It.
What about snow?
So as long as you don't say, come work by me, if you say, come work by me, work means you pay. So you said already, you verbalized that you're going to work and I'm going to pay you. So that already you can't do. If you say, come clean by me, then you're ready to be mekel. That's one halacha that people don't know. Another halacha that people sometimes I find that don't know is you're not allowed to pay. You're not allowed to pay a guy on Shabbos. When we say you're not allowed to pay, it's a halacha in tough. I don't have a shachna. Tough kuf yudzayin. There's a halacha that Magen Avraham brings that if you have a poil you owe money and he comes on Shabbos and the Magen Avraham says you can't pay them. So the Machzor Shekel says, what do you mean you can't pay them? Of course you can't pay them. Money's muktzah. What do you think you're gonna pay them? So he says the case is you put the money before away and the guy comes. And he says, here it is. So the Magen Avraham says that's what we call Ovdei Dechol. Again, it's inherently a weekday act. It's a commercial act. To point to money and say, here's your money. I'm paying up what I owe you. Is something someone shouldn't do. So
someone who's making a simcha.
Yeah.
Making a simcha. He's have a lot of people in his house, whatever. Sheva brachas, whatever.
Yeah.
And he hires the guy beforehand to do all kinds of things. Obviously, many of the things are not going to be any malachas.
Yeah, yeah.
But he's asking... He's asking her to work for him, and he's paying her.
But he hired her before.
He hired her before.
So that's fine. You're allowed to have
her. And he's paying her for Melechus Shabbos.
What do you mean Melechus Shabbos? You're not doing work. You're not doing Melechus. You're doing Melechus?
I was sure. We have to make the demarcation.
The demarcation should be as follows. So for example, like this. If you're hiring someone, let's say you hire caterers, waiters, whatever, and shul. Right. So for example, there are Melechus they're going to do. They're going to cut the tablecloth. So as long as they can do it before Shabbos, then they can. So what they do on Shabbos, it doesn't need to be on Shabbos.
They didn't have to do it.
They didn't have to do it on Shabbos. So that's not called doing malachas on Shabbos. They decided when they're going to do it. You didn't tell them to do it on Shabbos, right? So they don't inherently have to work for you. But if you do require them to work, for example, you give them a commercial mop, which there's no way to use that without being over on Shechita. I'm not saying there's no ways to clean, but if you say, this is your mop, and here's your pail, and after the Simcha, we need you to mop the floor, and there's no way a yid can do that because it's chita. And maybe theoretically, if you said I need you to clean the floor and you were ambiguous about it, maybe there'd be a heter that they could use paper towels, I don't know. But when you say, here's your mop and this is what you're going to use, so you're making them do malachas, so that's a problem. Now, what happens, this someone recently asked me, that he had a guy in his house, and he knew he had to pay him on Shabbos. He didn't feel comfortable paying him before the job was done, because the guy's going to take his money and walk out the door, and that'll be the end of that job. So he wanted, and wasn't talking about malachas, he was doing cleanup work. So how would you pay a guy on Shabbos? So the answer is very simple. You can't point on Shabbos the money and say, here's your money. But you can tell him before Shabbos, for Shkia. Say, by the way, 8 o'clock when you finish, in this drawer, there's money. And you can take it if you did the job well done. You understand? And you're in the house, he knows you're going to see he takes before Shabbos. So on Shabbos itself, you're not pointing to the money, you're not saying take the money. So that's not called the Ovdei Dechol. Ovdei Dechol is, here is your money. That is exactly the Ovdei Dechol. Here is your money. That's Ovdei Dechol. Point the money, say here's your money, that's Ovdei Dechol. Until before Shabbos, so then before Shabbos, the person can't be even on Ovdei Dechol. So that's Mutter. So those are the basic halachas of Shabbos and the cleaning lady.
What happens if somebody's having a baby?
Yeah.
And they have a car service.
So that's cool. Kwach nefesh.
You have the money in the thing. Is that the same?
Listen, you do the best you can. When you have kwach nefesh, everything I said, I should have prefaced. We're talking about the normal circumstances. But when you have a situation of kwach nefesh, and the Chazal said very clearly that when a woman's giving birth, it's kwach nefesh. So if it's possible to set it up before Shabbos, set it up before Shabbos, sometimes it's very difficult. And especially with a lady, you don't know what day it is. So to set it up is sometimes very difficult. But halacha l'maisa, when it comes Shabbos and a wife's giving birth, that's what you need to do. If you need to hire someone, you need to hire someone. Yeah. Even the rice is mutter. Hiring is only their abundance, so it's not going to be a problem. Right, so let's. Any other questions? What we said? Not different cases? And we can. Yeah.
On the mopping case, yeah. We're mopping up. If there's enough time after Shabbos and they don't have to do it on Shabbos, they can do it after Shabbos, then it's their own time they're doing it on. Then they can do it on Shabbos. Isn't that a little bit different?
But it might be, but sometimes you need to clean for Shal Shudas.
I'm saying
saying a different case. He's saying, let's say you don't tell him to clean up on Shabbos.
Right.
He tells him, I need to clean by Sunday morning, or I need to clean 2 hours after Shkia. Right. Yeah, so then that's a Shaila, because I don't know if you were here, we said that a Shkia is not allowed to work for you on Shabbos.
Right. But they're not. You didn't tell them to do it for you on Shabbos. They're doing it on their own.
Right.
You gave them a certain time limit. They have to have it done by Sunday morning.
Yeah, but the problem is that still they did it on Shabbos, and the halacha is that a schiyam can't work for you on Shabbos even if you didn't tell them to do it on Shabbos.
Stop them.
I would think you have to stop them. Yeah.
What happens if they do it on their own?
I would say you have to stop them.
What happens if they do it on their own?
That's what we said. And it's a little.
You
didn't ask.
You didn't ask.
I never heard of workers who do things on their own without asking. I mean,
I don't work.
You know such workers.
It's not gonna. In other words, didn't ask.
Are they getting paid?
They get paid.
If they don't pay them, they're gonna have a tine on you.
They're getting paid to work in the kitchen to help with wash dishes, but
washing dishes is mutter.
Yeah, but they decide afterwards she mops up the floor.
And you're gonna pay them per hour. It'll take an hour, you'll pay them.
Paying me either way.
Yeah. So
weekly.
I'm not gonna be helpful for you on this one. I think that you can't let now. It's like this. It's not so simple, this question, because if you didn't ask them, you could say that they could mop it b'ofen heter. Maybe. I don't know. This is what some poskim hold. Some rabbanim hold that mopping, if you don't give them the mop, that's usher. There are other ways to mop, maybe in a way which is mutter, like a Swiffer mop that doesn't really have shita, or I don't know. So I'm a little uncomfortable answering you, because if you go with the shita as a whole, that you can clean a floor b'ofen heter, that I wouldn't say that's a problem what you did, because that even though they were doing malachas for themselves, really they can do it by ifen heter.
Why can't we just say the guy's already there now and he's choosing to do it by ifen isser at a time of isser, but he can come back at Shabbos, he'd rather just do it now.
So, I don't know if you came late, so we'll start again. Rishman Beis, Chav Gimel, there's a halacha, the Mishnah Berurah says that if you have a Sechir Yayim who's working for you, and you tell them to do it on Monday, do it on Shabbos, you have to stop them.
Why
that's in Plush Halacha and Rishman Beis, Chav Gimel. You can check out Shulchan Aruch Rav, Rishman Gimel, Dalet. You're not allowed to let a worker work for you on Shabbos if you're paying them for a time. Now, the only exception would be is if they could, they don't have to really do work. They could do it by ifen heter, right? And they did it for themselves. For example, this is a question a person called me recently about. He's a caterer, and the dining room is on the first floor, and the basement is the kitchen. So he said, these people are being paid per hour. They really go walk up the steps and bring the food. But they want to use the elevator because they don't want to walk up the steps. So what we say is that they're using the elevator for themselves. They're not using it for you. For me, they could use the steps. I told them, don't worry about the time it takes. Just use the steps. So they say, no, we want to use the elevator. We're not Jewish. Why can't we use an elevator? So the answer is they're right. That's a good tainah. They could use the elevator because they're not Jewish. They're doing it for themselves. if you can do it by Eifin Heter, then it's mutter. But if you have a case where you cannot do by Eifin Heter, L'mashal, and that was the game, you have a secretary who's going to type up your transcribe your voice commands. They're going to do overtime. They decide on their own. They tell you Friday afternoon, by the way, on Shabbos, I'm getting very behind. I'm going to work overtime. I'm going to start transcribing the on Shabbos. You'll pay me overtime, but I'll do it on Shabbos, and if I'll get ahead of my workload. That's a mafurish halacha. You have to say you can't do it for me because you're my shliach, because you're my employee. An employee is not going to work for an employer on Shabbos that paid for that time. So in your case with the map, the only hat it would be is if you could say that they don't have to use a map. They could do the whole malacha by Eifin Heter. I know there's such a heter, but I feel like this. I feel that if you have a small area, like in your house, again, residential, so you're right. The cleaning lady probably could figure out a way using, she could wipe it up with a paper that's towel that's without schita, and they probably could do by Eifin Heter. I just think, especially when dealing with an institution like this one, the bigger you get and the bigger the floor, at some point, I don't think it's possible to do it by Eifin Heter, but if it is, I'm wrong. I'm not saying I'm wrong. If it is, then you could do it.
Maybe a plastic, where the springs are plastic.
Right, so there's something called a Swiffer. There are ways to do it by Eifin Heter, but let's say you don't have that mop, and you give them a big commercial mop, and you say,
What would be the
heter? It's Rav Kimmel, you can see it after, but the halacha is if they have to do an Isser, you're not allowed to do it on Shabbos. So the fact that they decide to do it on Shabbos is not an answer. The fact that they decide to do a malacha and they didn't have to do a malacha, that is an answer. That is a teretz. But I don't know if that applies by cleaning, and we could probably spend up 2 hours discussing cleaning, but we should move on.
If the guy always came to you on a chayil, and you left the money in a certain place, and I took the money. Now this time he came on a Shabbos to do a malacha.
To do a malacha?
Not to do a malacha.
To do cleaning. Things are allowed.
In the house, you did the work in the house.
Right.
So the money, you left it there.
They're allowed to take it.
And he took it after he walked in.
That's fine. That's what I said. As long as you don't tell him to take it, that's fine. So let's go.
Let me ask you something else. If the guy comes in and the room is completely dark.
Completely dark.
And he opens the light for himself.
For himself.
I'm sorry.
You know what? I should have said that. Very good. Thank you for saying. There's a famous Rabbeinu Simcha in the end of Reish HaInvav. The Rabbeinu Simcha is talking about a case where you asked the guy to wash dishes for you, and there wasn't enough light for the guy to wash the dishes, so they turned on a light so they could wash dishes. So Rabbeinu Simcha says that's mutter, and you're allowed to use the room. I think I said only when they're doing it for you is it us. They do it for themselves, now you're allowed to use it. So there are certain ways to, you know, if you need.
So if you want them to do something and you say, I'm going to give you a drink of schnapps.
There's a famous stipler. He writes in Kiel Shankov such a thing that there was a dark room, so he called in a guy and he said, "Let's have some schnapps." And the guy's like, "It's so dark in here." So the stipler said, "Well, do what you got to do." So he opened the light, and after that, they had light in the house in Shabbos. That's correct. Yes, thank you for.
Obviously, he shuts the light after the schnapps.
That's a very good question. Actually, it's an excellent question. It's a famous Eliyarava.
There's
a famous Eliyarava, and Eliyarava says as follows. Let's say a guy goes, and by mistake, they shut your light. They're not supposed to shut your light. They shut your light. A UPS driver, guys, bring a package into your house, and then while they're putting it down, their shoulder, and they knock the light off. The Eliyarava says, you're allowed to tell them to turn it on, because he's fixing his own mistake. He's not doing it for you. He's doing it to fix his own mistake. So, to fix a mistake is mutter. Now, in your case, I don't know if that's a tzushtel. Now that it's on, he might feel that I just want to turn it on, it'd be courteous if I shut it off. But you really feel, no, the light's on, I want you to leave it on. Who told you to shut it off? So, that's debatable. In a way, you're saying, who told you to shut it off? You made a mistake. Turn it back on. But in a way, he's the one who turned it on in the first place, so it's not really a tzushtel.
But you can tell him. If you're afraid,
don't turn it off. You can tell. And once you tell him don't turn it off, and he shuts it off, you for sure can tell him turn it on. But it's not exactly a tzushtel to the Eliyarava, because Eliyarava is talking about he shut it off by mistake. But that's a very good shayla. L'chor, the best would be like Rabbi Breslin, the best would be to tell him not to turn it off. And that, I don't see why you could do that. Why you not wouldn't be allowed to do that? Okay, we're gonna move on. And now we're gonna really, really quick. There's a halacha b'negei a guy is in. I'm gonna talk really, really quick. A guy is in the house of a yid. There are certain cases where a guy can't be left alone in the house of a yid, and if they are, you might have a problem. And the Gemara discusses the case of wine, and we'll see. Wine's not so negei as my name, because most wine today is cooked, pasteurized, and pasteurized wine does not have issa v'yayin nesach. A guy could touch it and drink it. There's no issa v'yayin nesach on pasteurized wine. So it's not, wine is not as relevant as it used to be, but what the halachas that we find in that Gemara is relevant because of, we have meat and other things in our house. The Gemara says
the temperature that it's pasteurized on.
That's also controversial. In America, we go to Pesach Rav Moshe, and we say pasteurized wine is mutter.
Except for the chum.
And Rav Shlomo Zalman took umbrage with that, but Rav Shlomo Zalman Pesach is not equivalent in America. So if you're going to move to Israel, you have to go here in Nushir. But in America, we OU and the kosher organizations, they go with Pesach Rav Moshe, and most places go with that. So pasteurized wine is not a problem, but there are things that the Gemara says in Avodah Zarah, the Gemara says that you can't leave a guy alone with wine because he might drink it, or Shem Yechufen, he might switch it. Okay, the Gemara says that if a yid is nichnas v'yaitzi, comes in and out, there's a mirsis. That means that the guy is scared to do anything he's not supposed to be doing because the yid will catch him. The yid catches him, he's going to fire him. The guy's not going to put his job on the line. So, when we have meat, the halacha in Kufyut Ches is the same halacha when it comes to meat. There's a halacha in Kufyut. I'm just going to do a few halachas here. Kufyut Ches Yud. Hamaniach Avid Chal Mebeisa. A person leaves the house. A person leaves a guy in his house. V'dvarim Shem Yichavu Yesh Afil Isha Teira. If there are things that he switches, like meat, there's going to be an Isha Teira. Imel Yaitze B'Nechus. The guy goes back and forth, comes in and out. V'loi Hidiu Shedai Telishos. You don't tell the guy when you're coming back. This is very important. You don't tell the guy when you're coming back. The halacha is it's mutter. So if the guy does not know your schedule, then it's mutter. But there's a very important shach, and the shach in Kuf Yud Zayin in Kuf Yud Ches Lamed Zayin says, let's say he does know your schedule, so he brings a case and he says, the shach says, how would you know your schedule? So the shach, he had a halig cup, and he said, very simple, you go to shul, you would never leave early, so the guy knows when the yid comes home. So the case said, the shach says that so the shach says that whenever you have a built-in pattern, like when you go to a basic knesses and the guy knows when you're going to leave. Well, if a person has a job and the guy sees you leaving by a job and the guy is not one day, the guy's there every day. After a month, the guy hops on. He knows when you come, he knows when you go. And sometimes the goita even picks up the kids. And it's already, the mother, shtals avek, they tell them, I'm not going to be home till 3, so I need you to do this and this and this. And you lehedya was just mavatel, you miss this. You mavatel yetziv nichnas. You told them, not only did they themselves figure out when you're coming and going, you told them, I'm not going to be here, so you have nothing to be worried about. So now you have a problem. You have meat in your fridge, and it's not wrapped, and there's no simen, it's not sealed. And there's a halacha that when you have meat, there's a gzeira. So we're going to discuss a few quick hetayim. The halacha is, im ena nene bechalipin mutter, which means like this. If the guy would not be gained from the chalipin, which means the guy has nothing to gain by taking treif meat and switching with kosher meat. It's not like they want kosher meat and they can't buy kosher meat. It's hard to get kosher meat. For whatever reason, there was
cheaper.
Okay, it's the other way, yeah.
Trying to switch it, so we learned that with the label.
Right. Yeah. So the halacha is, if it's in a nana, if the guy wouldn't be nana, then there wouldn't be a chashash. That's the Shulchan Aruch Paskin. This is the Machlokes Tosfos that we base in the Zohar and the Rosh. That's Shulchan Aruch Paskin like Tosfos. So if there's no chashash of them being nana, that would be an Eitzah. Now, being that would be an Eitzah, generally that is an Eitzah, people could be Samacham. But Zmanenu, there really would be no reason why they'd start switching it. For whatever reason, the Paiskim said they were trying to be Machshel people, they were trying to, the kosher meat was a quality that they couldn't get, and the butcher wouldn't sell it to them because the butcher was scared that they'd be Machshel people, whatever the case is. But Zmanenu, they have their own, either you feed them, whatever the case is, there'd be no chashash, there'd be a chalchen, there'd be no problem. But there are exceptions to that. And the exception to that is if it's on the fire. Now, if you have food on the fire, and the guy is going to eat that food, let's say you have a goita, and the goita is going to take some of the food and go to her room. So there's halacha in Kufyut Ches Yud Beis, and the halacha is like this. Yesh lahachmer, one should be stringent. Shloi lahaniach kedei rois. Eitzel ha-shivkuk she'en yisol v'bayis. And this is the place where he's talking about al-eish. And that means like this. If you have a stew, a crock pot stew, a supper that you put up for Friday, for the night. Not Shabbos, no, Wednesday
Shabbos,
night. No, do it Shabbos.
It's not a Shabbos.
Not do it Shabbos. Shabbos. Let's not mix up the two things. If you have
Kashrus
Shaila, on Wednesday night, you have a supper on the fire. You have a goiter in the house. If the goiter is going to eat that food, the goiter wants the food to taste good. Now the goiter, all our life, has been used to eating her stew with butter. So there's a chash that she's going to start putting butter in. And the halacha is, you're not allowed to have a yichud, a goy, alone with your food on the fire, when you're not in the house, unless you have a hetav yitzav nechnas. But like we said, a lot of people, once they become morgul and they have a set schedule, you nichlam what the shach says, which I still have not found, I'm still looking for it, but somewhere here in Lamed Zayin, the shach says that if you're morgul to go to the Beis HaKnesses for a set time, you lose your nichlam v'yaitzis. And kol shekein, if you tell the guy I'm not going to be there, you just lost your nichlam v'yaitzis. And even if you'll tell the guy I might come home early, every day you might say that, but if after a while you never come home early, you don't have a nichlam v'yaitzis. The guy knows, it's not happening. The yid never shows up until 8 o'clock. So if I need to doctor up the stew to make it the way I'm used to, I know I have time. So the halach is it's a yichud. So that's one problem. And there's another problem of kelim. Let's say the guy will use your kelim. If they can serve themselves food, they're not going to take cereal, they might use the kelim. And that is a halach in, that's a halach in Kuf Chav Beis Yud Ches, I believe. And that's a Ramah. And the Ramah says that, let me just find it. Right. So this is in Yud Aleph. So it's Kuf Chav Ches that the kelim is a chash. So again, there's a problem of yichud. Even though we know a goy is not trying to bedafka mess up the yid's kitchen, and we know if this meat, we don't think the goy will just switch it lahaches. But they might use your kitchen. They might use your kelim. They might use bas b'chalav. They might ask the kelim, and they might doctor up food on the fire. So if you have nechus v'yotze, all these are not a problem. But if you don't have nechus v'yotze, you have a little problem. I'm just going to read for Moshe over here. And Moshe discusses these halachas, and he says as follows, just so you shouldn't think I'm making it all up. B'davar ma'ase shiru mishar sis nachrim. In the case of when people leave, they leave livens b'beis b'bayis b'shvil ha'yiladim. And he's talking about when they're watching kids. It's forbidden for lachetchila, which means lachetchila b'di'evet. It's a different halacha, but lachetchila, a person should not plan to do such a thing, to leave a house alone with a nachris. She's going to use the kelim. She's going to cook. Well, the pa'amim gami alaladim. Sometimes you even tell them, you know, if the kid's hungry, throw something on the fire, which is different. Shal bishul, I don't think we're going to be able to get to that. But forget about bishul. Let's say it's not a pa'am bishul. Let's say you're going to make them hot cocoa. Hot cocoa is not bishul. Coffee's not bishul because it's raised mayim. But still, you ask them to make them hot cocoa. They have no idea what milchik's fleishiks. The hot cocoa is milchik. They don't use the fleishiks. They wash it away. They put it away. You don't know anything about it.
Correct.
You come home and your kitchen's straight. So let me just finish with Moshe. So he says like this. Af im ein hamaleches habishul mutelas aleha. Even though you didn't tell them to cook. Even though there's a yid that's supposed to come and do the cooking, you have to be choshish that tivshul la'atzma, that sometimes she'll cook for herself. Let's say it's a cook and the cook didn't come on time. But ad hayiladim, they'll cook also for the kids. Right. So the ena medaktik be'ena bas b'chalav, and they're not going to be careful on bas b'chalav. Okay, and sometimes he says that maybe they'll even bring their own meat. And then they'll be really to this. Okay, so what's the Eitzah? I know I'm for sure not going to be invited back if we don't give an Eitzah. So what is the Eitzah with a person who has a pattern, a daily schedule, a Seder Ayoyim, and they know that the guy, they know that the guy knows that they know that they're not going to be home and the guy's going to be in the house alone. What's the Eitzah? So there's a interesting halacha in Ashach in the beginning of Kuf Yud Ches.
Put up cameras.
So that's what we're getting to. Put up cameras. So how do you know the cameras work, right? We have to have Makar up there. So I'm just going to say like this.
This comes from you, right?
The halacha is like this. If a person has meat, the Shulchan Aruch brings, you have to have a siman. If someone's sending meat with a guy, he has to have a siman. So Shulchan Aruch says, so if you have a siman, im haydu l'chaver yitzuras achosin, if you tell your friend the tzura the way the busser looks, that's a siman, right? Bizmanenu, that would mean like this. You're sending meat with a guy. You take a picture with your iPhone. You text it to your friend, and you say, this is the meat. So now, when the guy gets his meat, he compares it to his picture. No better siman than that. And he sees if it's the same meat, because you can't fake the meat exactly, right? And he sees this is the meat. So now, look, it's a siman, that's mutter. Shulchan Aruch says a very interesting thing. You tell the guy, by the way, I just sent a picture of this meat to my friend. I texted a picture. So he's going to know if this is good meat if you switch to meat. That's the halach. Tmutter, Shulchan Aruch. Says the Shach, why did the Shulchan Aruch say that? Who can't, why do you have to tell the guy? Why are you tipping him off? Don't tell the guy. When the recipient, the Yiddish recipient, gets the meat, he'll check. If he broke the seal, meaning if it's not the right meat, he can eat it. The right meat, he could eat it. Why are you telling the guy? What's the guy's business? So the Shach says, it's talking about that you did not take a picture, and you don't have a cell phone, and your friend doesn't have a cell phone, and you don't even have a friend. I mean, you're sending it to someone, but you have nothing to do with that guy. The Shach says, you could do a very simple thing. You could tell the guy, I want you to know, I have a cell phone, I took a picture, I sent it to the guy who's going to receive it, and he's going to know if it's mixed up. He's going to know if you played around with this meat. He's going to know if anything was done to this meat. He's going to know if you touched the meat. Anything you do, we have a picture exactly how I left it, and it has to be exactly how I'm sending it. That's how it has to be received. You tell it to the guy, says the Shach in Yud Beis, that the halacha is Nira. He says, Nira, my time im hidulachav, right? Why does that say hidulachav, right? He says, the case is you did not tell the friend anything. You could trick him. So if you could trick him, if the Shach says you could trick him, so then for sure we could trick people. So in today's day and age, there's really two ways to go. There's the expensive route and there's a cheap route. The expensive route would be to put in a camera, and now you could have cameras on you, and it could be you could have that feed. You could on your phone, you could get straight into that feed online in the cloud. So you tell her, there's a camera, here's my phone, and I see what goes on in the kitchen. So you have to understand, the Jewish dietary laws are very complicated, and even myself, I only know half of them, and a lot of times I have to ask the rabbi, it's very complicated, and you, Miss Gentile, cannot do things in the kitchen unless I specifically tell you which drawer and stuff, because if you do, you're going to mess up my kitchen. Now, just to make sure, you should just know I have a camera to watch to make sure. Now, that's for sure, that's mutter. But even less than that, even a cheaper eitzah would be, is to buy, for $15, you could buy a little tinted bubble, which looks like a camera, and you stick it on the wall, and it's not connected to anything, and you tell the guy, I want you to know, see this? This is a camera. This camera is going to see anything you do. And that is the same halacha of the Shach. The Shach says, if you make a mirsis, if you make a situation where the guy is scared, so then it's mutter. So if you have that camera and it's black, they don't see where the camera's moving, and you tell them, I'm going to watch to make sure that you don't mess up. So then, in such a case, there would be a heter of the same way there's a heter of nichna v'yaitse. If someone's coming and going, you have the same type of heter. It's what Chazal referred to as mirsis. Mirsis means they're scared, and that l'chor would be an eitzah for these problems of kashrus. If you have a situation where you, the guy knows your schedule, and you know the guy's going to be home in your house with kalim, which is almost all the time, and it's not locked up, or you know that the guy is going to be home with food cooking on the fire, so the halacha is you should really have something set up that they know there's a system in place that we're watching them.
Ayin Roa.
Ayin Roa, yeah. We should all have Ayin Roa. Yeah.
So if that's the case, I have a lot to leave by putting on the fire. Well, how do you get rid of the Bishulakum?
Bishulakum is a different shaila. I mean, there's very easy ways to get rid of Bishulakum.
And even this one, when the thing is cooking, the same things, even if you're a Nichnas V'yetzer.
100%. Bishulakum is not Nichnas V'yetzer does not help Bishulakum. Bishulakum means a Yid has to do partake in the cooking process. Or Chazal said that if the guy's going to cook for a Yid, this is Gzeir Mishum Chasmas, that the we're going to have a problem of intermarriage. One of the basic ways that people socialize is with food. So Chazal saw a need to make a firewall between Yidin and Goyim, and they said a guy is not allowed to cook for a Yid. So if a guy cooks for a Yid, the Yid can't eat that food unless it's Paspalta, which is a commercial bakery. But if it's not a commercial bakery, a guy in your house to cook for a Yid, a guy cannot cook for a Yid. Unless it's Rav, unless, there's a lot of different halachas, but a coffee is, yeah, Rav Mayim is mutter, but Generally, a stew, give me one second, generally a stew or anything that you're making for dinner, a goy cannot cook for a yid. Now, there are, when we say cook, what does cook mean? About if the yid starts it off, the goy could be involved. Yeah. If the yid puts the thing on the fire
and starts to cook it, the guy takes care of it. He says when it's finished, shut it off.
Right, that's mutter, because the yid partook enough in the cooking process that it's not called bishul akum.
But how do you trust the guy?
You trust the guy.
How do you trust the guy?
Oh, you mean the yid's not home?
Yeah,
the answer. Right. He is at home, and the guy doesn't think the yid's coming back. The yid left. He says, "I'm going back for 2 hours to go learn."
He doesn't know when he's coming back. I'm saying.
No, if he doesn't know when he's coming back, that's called nechaz yaitzi. He's scared to do anything. But let's say he does know. You tell the guy, "I have a chavrusa. I'm going to learn now." Your wife went to the gym, and she's like, "I'm coming back in an hour," and everyone's gone. They're gone. So what's the halacha? The halacha is you have a problem. So I thought I gave a decent suggestion. I even saved you money that you could put on a fake camera and tell them you have a camera here. And that was your mutter. But better than that, I don't know.
What was the
have a better
Heter situation 15 years ago, 20 years ago?
He has a better rig.
I don't. Rav Moshe writes, well, if you go through the tshuva, Rav Moshe in Yeredei Chelik Simon Tamakalov, he writes that there's no it. Okay. He writes it's awesome.
What if there's no
he writes that to leave the guy home alone, they know that he is not coming home. The Eitzah always in Chazal was Nechitz V'Yetzah. And the Eitzah is Nechitz V'Yetzah.
See, there is another Eitzah to give a neighbor a key and have them come in.
Fine, then you have right to Nechitz V'Yetzah. I'm saying Nechitz V'Yetzah. The Eitzah is Nechitz V'Yetzah. But again, they have to come in. It has to be unpredictable. I mean, the Shach's still correct that if you have a situation where a pattern develops, then you lose your Nechitz V'Yetzah. When the pattern develops to a point that the guy can take it to the bank, between this and this time, no one's coming in, because even the neighbor who's supposed to check on me also leaves for 2 hours every single day. He just lost a nechaz v'yetzah for those 2 hours. So in Chazal, you only had to have nechaz v'yetzah. I'm just bringing the shach to say that it seems that you could trick the guy. So now, it's my name, it's a very easy way to trick them, just tell them you have a camera. Yeah.
Somebody in the back. I don't understand. You're dealing with human nature, and if somebody wants to get by, they'll get by. And if they want, let me finish.
Yeah.
And if they know that you're out to look at every little thing, which they do, they'll do whatever they want afterward. That's human nature. I work in jobs, okay? So what happens, especially when you get older, you have somebody taking care of your parent. And therefore, that person in the household there can do whatever they want the whole time.
All right.
So what I have done in the past with several times is I set up a separate area outside the kitchen in the basement, and I said, here is your heater. You can cook food, you can have your own refrigerator, you can do all this kind of stuff. So instead of just saying, I'm going to watch everything, I'm going to fool you all the time, I don't think that would work in the slightest nowadays. Just say you have your separate area, we care for you, we want to make everything pleasant for you. And therefore, would something like that be allowable, and wouldn't have to worry, because nobody's going to keep coming in throughout the day anyway.
Who's cooking for this yid?
Some other person.
Yid.
I had cooked the gefilte fish or the chicken.
So they come in and they cook and they leave.
Food for my mother, right. And therefore the other thing was for her, Shoa.
So let me understand what you're saying. Forget about, before you get into why you think my eitzah is not good. I don't exactly understand your problem, my eitzah, but let's get into your situation. What's your heter of having a guy alone in your house? What's your heter? I didn't hear the heter. What's the heter?
Is somebody from Medicaid or...
No, what's the heter? I thought I don't have to go Medicaid.
To the house to take care of your parents.
No, I understand, but what are we doing? What are we doing to get rid of the problem of an issur yichud with a guy in the house with Caleb?
Putting his kitchen in the basement.
So, why can't we just use the person? Isn't the person there?
His mother's there. That person is functioning.
Or whatever.
They have no concept of what's happening.
You have a house.
So
you have a parent in your house.
Right.
There's going to be somebody watching the person all day long, and that is the person that takes care of that person.
No. I understand your case. But the person is being taken care of is not a good shomer at this point.
Not a good shomer.
So I don't understand what your heter is.
The heter is he's saying that non-Jew is.
The non-Jewish has her own kitchen? That's not a heter.
It might be more convenient.
When they're upstairs, what is your heter? They want to make themselves a coffee.
If it's convenient.
I don't understand. I'm trying to understand your heter. They want to make themselves a coffee. They're upstairs. They're going to use the wrong pot. They're going to cook up milk.
Show you care for the person. She will follow what you tell her to do.
I understand. That was really my answer to your first question. That was really my answer to your first question. We're not talking about people that are maliciously trying to ruin the kitchen of a Yid. We're talking about people who are doing things for their own convenience. But if they know that this is very important to me, and I'm going to watch just to make sure that you don't slip up, that you don't mistake, you're 100% right. If someone wanted to maliciously ruin, let me just finish. If someone wanted to maliciously ruin your kitchen, there is no way to stop them. But we're not in a war of the, this is not a war of the kitchen here. We're talking about that you have a guy, and the guy does things, 100% they mean good. But they don't know the halachas, and they're not sensitive to basic things that we know from when we're 4 years old. And they never will get sensitive to it, because it really is to them meaningless facts. So, because of that, Chazal said you have to have a shomer. And Chazal understood human nature, also good. And they understood that the bottom line is, no one's going to be on top of them, they're not going to take these things seriously. They have to know that someone's on top of them. And therefore, if they 100%, if someone knows, like a nanny cam, if there's someone watching a kid, even though they're not the whole time looking at that camera, it's something that's inside of them the entire time that they're being watched. So they have to be careful not to mistakenly just be careless and do things because it's just extremely convenient for them, because they're being watched, and that's something that's important to the owner, that it's done right. So in your case, I don't understand, just because if you put in the kitchen in a basement, there still would be a chash.
Well, that person.
For
that,
that separate kitchen. Now, usually,
for that person only.
Even if it's for that person, but when the person's in the main kitchen and they want to conveniently make themselves a coffee, Chazal understood that you have to be chosh for such a thing. Now, I know that a lot of the aides are really good people and they're going to be really careful, but we can't pick and choose aides. We can't start rating them, the honest aides and not honest aides. So we have to make a general rule, and the general rule is that a guy cannot be alone in the house of a Yid without some sense of supervision. Supervision doesn't mean 24 hours, I don't know, shkich tmidi, but some sense of oversight they have to have to know that there's going to be somewhat of a law and order over here, and someone's going to be checking on them. So in your case, I would think that it would be helpful if you would just set up some sort of system like a nichts v'yotzi. Either you, do you come in every so often?
That's what I did, obviously.
So you're a nichts v'yotzi. If you could come in, but all I'm asking you is, if you would be somewhat unpredictable, which means if these goyim, if they eventually learn that the fellow who comes to check on me cannot come after 8 o'clock because they go to Manhattan, and they're not come before 4 o'clock because they're still in Manhattan, at that point I believe you lose your nechitz v'yotzi, and it's in full shock really cooking ches lamazayim. At some point you lose your nechitz v'yotzi. So if that's the case, then maybe you could have someone else chuck up once in a while. It's not these nechitz v'yotzi still remains the ikar hetter in Chazal. And the other family members, you could ask them once in a while, once a week, just drop in, say hello, say how's everything. They know that there's never a time when they are 100% on their own. People come and people go. And they're going to be, and because of that, they don't want to do the wrong thing. They're going to be, there's something keeping them from becoming extremely careless. That's the best way I can answer. But if you're not, if certain cases where you know no one's going to be around and no one can check on them, then I would really recommend you install a camera or a fake camera.
Even if somebody comes in all the time, they mix things. Even if they don't take
the person who comes
conscious, they mix basar v'chalav.
Right
in front of you. I know a ma'aseh shohayu, but a woman that had.
And sometimes the owner doesn't even know they're doing something wrong. That's why you have to learn how to
kashrus. So the hashik is taking care of her. So she was giving her meat.
100%.
She gave her meat to eat.
Yeah, 100%.
She ate up some of the meat.
You're 100% right. You turn around, within 4 seconds, they can have the entire kitchen trafe. Literally, in one coffee or in one serving of meat, you have no idea how much damage they could do. And they don't mean to do it maliciously. They're just serving. This is a kitchen. These are what pots are for. What in the world? They think you're out of your... They're not trained. They meant good. And that's exactly my point. They mean good. They don't mean bad. They mean good. Right. That's why you have to really, especially a new worker, you have to really, you have to read them the riot act before. The kitchen is a very complicated... Our kitchen is a very sensitive place. We don't just go and touch things. It can just blow up at any time. You have to really know what you're doing before you touch anything in the kitchen.
You have been listening to a presentation of BensTorah.com.